All right, let's have the choir come on. Let's get ready to start the service here in about 2 minutes. Number 389. Thank you, choir. We'll sing again in just a minute. But number 389, I will sing the wondrous story. Everybody take a hymnal, stand and join us as we sing. 389. Sing together now. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his holy glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I sing the wondrous glory of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the rending glory gathered by the crimson sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sea that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, threw me back into his way. Yes, I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the breaking glory gathered by the crystal sea. flows as waters at my feet. Then you'll bear me safely over where the loved one lies shall be. Yes, I think of your glory, of the prize you died for me. Sing it with a saintly glory, guided by the Christmas tree.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing over the service. Then you can be seated in the choir, sing another song. Father, thank you again for the wonderful opportunity we have to be in the house of God. We so enjoyed this morning and Brother Robert and the message, but tonight's a new night and we need something fresh from the Word of God. And we're grateful for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the choir, for the special music, Lord. Of course, the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for everyone that's here. And God, we're grateful for the opportunity to worship you one more time. Lord, since the Bible said we're to take no thought for tomorrow, instead of wondering what we're going to do tomorrow, let's just focus, Lord. Help us to focus on worshiping you right now. We love you and thank you for all you do. Bless the choir as they sing another song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good song there. What a meeting in the air. Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to tell us to sing it again. Let's stand and have a little handshaking time while the choir comes down. Good singing, choir.
Where are you going? Fall down? all time. And we're at the surgery center where you go all the time. What's the name of the oh, middle, okay. I got you. All right. All right. Thank you so much, choir, again for the good singing tonight. Thank you for being right here in the service with us. Good to see you here tonight. A couple things I'm going to mention quickly since there's not. We got a little change in our schedule for this coming week. And I want everybody to know because this is going to be something open to everybody in the church who wants to go. And especially the men and the young men. But ladies can go too for this. Normally, this coming Saturday, you know, the first and third Saturday of every month, we have our Sewing Saturday. We go out and knock on doors. Well, somebody came up with a good idea, and I like the idea, and the fact that because we found out today that our relative, Aunt Betty's, funeral is actually going to be next Saturday, not Tuesday. They're waiting till Saturday. Got people coming from the West Coast. And so we're not going to be able to be here, Judy and I, and then Brian and Bethany are going to sing at the funeral. So here's what we're going to do, and this will be great. And that is a week from Saturday. That's not this coming Saturday, but Saturday week. Anybody who wants to go, now we'll get the time and we'll get it all together. Just we'll work on the logistics. But South Carolina is playing Georgia here in Columbia on that Saturday at 3:00 in the afternoon. We're going to take as many folks that will go down there and hand out tracts. I'm telling you, we could give out thousands, at least many hundreds. And so, and since this is something that anyone can do, now understand that we will, when the time comes, we'll put everybody in a group that where you'll be safe. And, you know, we're not going to stick some lady out there on the corner all by herself. We won't do that. But really, this is open, and I think this would be a good thing for the family to do. Honestly, keep, you know, if your children are with you, and even if they don't do it, just watching you, what you're doing. And you talk about getting tracts in people's hands. That's the Georgia game. That's a big game. There's probably going to be 85,000 people in the stadium, and probably another 20 or 30,000 all around it, tailgating and watching on TVs and what. So, I mean, we're talking about over 100,000 people in downtown Columbia at one time. And so there's no reason why we couldn't, and Brother Shelton has already given us some places where even if it's not at the stadium entrance itself, along Bluff Road and Shop Road, where those folks have to park and walk up down them side. I mean, there's so many places where we could put two or three or four people, spread them out. And man, I'm telling you, we could hit a home run giving out tracts. I'm telling you. And it'll help our goal, of course, but imagine how many people we can get the gospel to at one time. And so now, to my knowledge, we've never done this before, but I want to be here to do it. We were talking about maybe doing it this coming Saturday. They play Coastal Carolina, but I want to be here to do that. And we've got the funerals at 1:00, I think. And so we have to leave at 10 or 10:30. So anyway, so we're going to postpone this Saturday. For those of you that normally go door knocking, we're going to postpone that until the following Saturday. So Saturday week, and so between now and next Sunday, I'm going to get a count of how many people are intending to go. And listen, I know. First thing the devil's going to tell you is, "Ooh, how scary is that going to be?" Well, you know, it's scary driving to the grocery store. It's scary just dealing with people. Period. But this is easy. I'm telling you, it's the easiest way for you to be a witness that there really is, other than call or texting someone. You know, if you're texting, how easy is that? You don't even have to get up out of your chair to text someone. But this is, we can actually put tracts in people's hands. Now, Brother Joaquin, we'll have to have a lot of tracts, so if we need some, then I'll get with you and we'll get more ordered so we can get them here and get them stamped and all that sort of thing. But who knows what kind of seed will be sown and how many people we may get as prospective church folks from getting those tracts. I mean, you never know. You never know. You say, well, if you get about 100,000 tracts, man, what if you only get 4 or 5? Well, that's better than zero. Yeah. Amen. And what if we gave out 10,000 tracts that day? And it could be done. And one person got saved. It would be worth all 10,000 of them. Amen? So just keep it in mind, and by this time next Sunday, we're going to really put this thing together. I'll work on it this week, and we'll have the church van, we'll have other vehicles, and we'll make sure that it is just as safe as it can be for you. So we'll make sure there's a van with everyone. I mean, you know, we'll do it as safely as possible. And that's why, so we'd like maybe the ladies to help out as well. And so, anyway, just something for you to think about. Next Sunday, we'll get a count of how many people to expect. And then we can decide and decipher how we're going to post people along the route there going into the stadium. We'll just do it as they're going in. Once they come out, well, the game will be, of course, we'll be gone from there. It starts at 3:00. So I'd say if we got there, Brother Shelton said, you can get there 5 hours before the game, and there's people all over that place. Of course, you know, they do that tailgate and stuff and all that other. And so we certainly don't want to get, you know, involved in anything like that. So we want to catch them on the sidewalk, on the public sidewalk, as they're going in the building or, you know, going in the game. So just keep that in mind, will you? And I hope you'll just make plans that, you know, you won't have to say anything. All you have to say, this is easy for you to remember and memorize. Can I give you something to read? That's all you got to say. Now, if someone stops and asks you what it's all about, then you be ready to give an answer, you know. But if you're not, then get somebody, me or somebody, whoever, whatever folks are out there that can, and we'll be sure and help you. So we'll be stationed all along the way there, and we won't put you out in the corner somewhere where you're all by your lonesome. But I'm telling you, if we get 20 people to give out 100 tracts each, which is like nothing, that's 2,000 tracts, just like that. And I'm talking about probably within an hour. I mean, we didn't take that long. So there's no reason, and I just used 20 as an example. Maybe we get 30. If 30 would give out, that's 3,000. Well, that's 3 months worth of our goal in 1 or 2 hours on a Saturday. How about that? So I'm looking for, I'm excited about it, and I want to be part of it, and I can't be this Saturday, so we're going to do that. I hope you'll understand that. It'll give you this Saturday to kind of relax and get pumped up for it, all right? And so anyway, because you know it's the Georgia game, so I mean, you talk about people filing in that place. They'll be all around there trying to buy tickets. I mean, there'll be tens of thousands of people out there trying just to get in that don't have tickets. And they'll be trying to get them, scalp them, and blah, blah, blah. Now, the one thing I don't want you to prepare for is when we get there, you slip somebody $50 to get a ticket and go in there and watch the game while we're handing out tracts. All right? Now, it starts at 3. We'll be done by then. So if you want to do that, that's your business, you know. But we want you to stay out and hand out tracts till it's time. Because I see somebody right now going, yeah, tickets, all right. But anyway, but I expect, now I don't know, but I expect if you try to buy a ticket outside that gate, it's going to cost you your rent money and your grocery money because they're not going to be cheap, I promise. But the tracks are absolutely free. And so we want to help folks with that. Okay, so just keep that in mind if you would. All right, continue to pray if you would for, of course, I mentioned the Spence family, the funeral we'll be attending next weekend. Brother Ed McAbee with his cancer, let's remember him. And then Gail's going in Tuesday to have surgery on her hand at the Midlands Orthopedic at 9:00. And so if you think about that Tuesday morning, pray for her as she'll be having, she's got a little something there that needs to be removed. And so she'll be doing that on Tuesday at the Midlands Orthopedic down on that's downtown, where I know I've been there. I just can't think of the street name. What is it? Blanding, okay? And so you just keep that in mind if you would. All right? Come on, Brother Tim. Let's have another song. All right, 435. Watch when we get to the chorus. We'll slow down the entrance. But 435, since Jesus came into my heart. 435. Watch when we get to the chorus. Sing out now.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea. That is steadfast and sure. Jesus came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy. Like the sea billows roll,
I shall go there to dwell in that city. That's and what's right, the next two words? I know. Let's sing it like we mean it. I shall go there to dwell in that city. I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy, and onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, what a joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll.
Good singing. You can be seated. All right, let's have the ushers come on ahead. We'll take care of the offering this evening. And appreciate you giving a good love offering, Brother Robert, this morning. And they were very grateful, said to tell the church thank you. And we took them out and ate lunch with them, so enjoyed some fellowship together with them. And he told us the entire story about their kidnapping. I'm telling you, that sounded kind of, you know, sounded bad when he told it here, but he told us the rest of it. I'm telling you, it's a wonder that they got out of that thing alive. And so after he got done, I said, you know what? We just don't understand in America how bad some folks have it in other parts of this world, I'm telling you. And it's bad here. I mean, don't misunderstand. It's bad here. But I'm telling you, just the way, and it said the police chief in the town where they were told him, said, it's a miracle. Said, because, like he said this morning, he said, whenever this happens in this town and they take you in those woods, we come and get you in a body bag. They, without fail, 100% of the time, somebody get killed, and they all walked away. So thank God for that. But anyway, wanted to thank you for giving the good love offering this morning. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the offering tonight. Brother John, how about pray for the offering?
Glad to have Mrs. Mary Ward here with us tonight, and she's been coming for a while, and we've got her in the choir, so she's joined right in with us. She's going to sing right before Pastor comes.
I'm glad to be here tonight, and y'all listen to the words of this. One day, I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I have never seen the face of my Savior But serving Him has been such a thrill. I have never seen the gates to that city. Oh, but one day I will. One day I'm gonna walk down that street of pure gold. And they tell me that the half, oh, it's never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones on Zion's holy hill. Oh yes, one day I will. From the time I first met Him, He's been all to me. And my life with His joy He has filled. And I'm longing for that day when my eyes shall behold Him. Thank God, one day I will. One day I'm gonna walk down that street of pure gold. And they tell me that the half, oh, it's never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones on Zion's holy hill. Oh yes, one day I will. One day I'm gonna walk down that street of pure gold. And they tell me that the half, oh, it's never yet been told. I'll be united with my loved ones on Zion's holy hill. Oh yes, one day I will. I know that one day I will.
Thank you, Miss Mary. Well, what a good song. And if you enjoyed that and there's a blessing to you, say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you for that. Get your Bibles out. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Amen. Wasn't that good? Thank you, Miss Mary. Miss Mary's a real blessing. Some of you may not know, but her husband pastored three churches too. Two churches down in the Fort Pierce, Florida area. And so Miss Mary is a pastor's wife. She knows what it is to be a pastor's wife. And they were into good independent fundamental churches, still going, have different pastors. Now her husband's gone on to be at the Lord. And so when she sings that song, I have an idea. She has an idea that he's over there waiting for her. And so that's a joy and a blessing. And thank you, Miss Mary. God has sent us some good folks in here. Man, I'm really excited about what the Lord's going to do in the days to come. Matthew chapter 13 this evening. The Gospel of Matthew 13. Lord willing, Wednesday night our live stream will be back up. We had to order a modem or get one. They're supposed to pick it up tomorrow. And so we'll get this one disconnected, and I'll have it so I can get it tomorrow. We'll get it put back together, so Wednesday night we'll be back online. That's the reason why the mission board is not working quite right, because the Wi-Fi is not working good with all of that. So we're going to get all that straightened out and be back 100% going again. Matthew chapter 13, look at verse number 45, two verses. Let's stand, please, if you're able, as we read the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13, page 1017 in your Schofield Bible. Let's read verse 45 and verse 46. The Bible said again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Father, bless your word to our hearts. My heart is joyous over the singing tonight already. My soul has been fed from the singing, the choir,
And then Sister Mary singing tonight. What a blessing. The congregational music has been a joy. And I'm glad that, Lord, that we know what it is to have good music that sets the stage, sets the table, if you will, for the Word of God. And so I'm grateful for our folks in the choir, Miss Mary and Brother Tim and our musicians, all the folks that have a part in our special music. Lord, it helps me to preach when the Spirit of God's already been presented through song. So now, Lord, we ask you to open up the Word of God to our hearts this evening. Speak to us. Help us to be rejoicing that we are the pearl of great price. And we love you and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I got to studying, and you've probably heard some of this before, I'm sure. But you know that a pearl is a very valuable gem. Pearls do not come from the ground. They come from an oyster. And as you know, and I know you know this, an oyster has a shell. It is in two parts, and it has a hinge on the back. You've seen the cartoons and the movies of the oyster when it opens up, you know, and closes and all of that sort of thing. Well, that's really how they work. An oyster is an organism of the sea. And in that shell, inside that shell, this oyster, the shell itself is called the mantle. And so it has an upper and lower mantle or shell, as we would call it. And an oyster, as it begins its life, is very small. And then it begins to grow because the oyster produces an enzyme called nacre. And that's what creates the shell. That's what makes the shell and makes it hard over time. If you find an oyster of any size, that thing's probably been around for many decades, growing and reproducing itself inside this oyster shell. And so this nacre, this mineral, lines the inside of that oyster shell. If you eat oysters, I don't know how in the world anybody can do that. I'm telling you, I've seen people do it, you know, great day in the morning. I'm telling you, you got to be really hungry or really strange to eat something like that. They don't even cook them. You just eat them. Good gracious alive. Anyway, so I'm not preaching against you tonight, but don't ever invite me out for oysters. Amen right there. All right, so this what happens is that a piece of sand or some other foreign material makes its way somehow into the shell of an oyster. Now, it doesn't happen all the time. Pearls are rare gems. Now, you got to consider the size of the earth and how many oysters there probably are in the world. And so even though there could be hundreds of thousands or millions of pearls, in the scheme of how many could be, it's a very small percentage. And so if you want to give your wife a string of real pearls, I'm telling you, you better be ready to come off the hip because they're very expensive. And so what happens, though, is this piece of sand settles into the mantle of this oyster. Well, the oyster begins to feel the irritant. I mean, it's just like if you got a bug bite or something and you start to scratch it. Well, this piece of sand or foreign material gets inside the oyster, and suddenly the oyster begins to produce this nacre solution. And what it does, it covers that piece of sand. And it does it over and over and over until that piece of sand is no longer irritating. It'd kind of be like having a mouth ulcer or something like that inside your mouth. You know, you'll use your tongue for 3 days just trying to smooth it out so it won't hurt so bad. Well, this oyster is producing this nacre until that little and I'm talking about a grain of sand. It's not much. But as the oyster produces over and over until it is satisfied that the irritant will no longer bother them. Now, what you have, is a pearl. Now, we always think of a pearl being the little white, round gem that they find in an oyster. And believe it or not, the little round, white pearl is even more rare than some of the others. There's red pearls, black pearls, there's blue pearls, green pearls. There are some pearls that are not round. They're oblong. They're kind of a different kind of a shape. It just depends on the type and size of the irritant and how the oyster handles it. Now, also, you've heard of cultured. By the way, those that are different sizes and colors, if you go into a jewelry store, they're called Baroque pearls. Not broke, Baroque, B-A-R-O-Q-U-E, Baroque pearls. Now, they're expensive, but not as expensive as that pretty white pearl. Now, also, man has learned from their study of the oyster how to create what are called cultured pearls. And that's basically, they get a bunch of oysters, and they open them up and cut a slit in the, imagine getting a paper cut on your tongue. That's what they do. And then they will introduce an irritant like sand or something else. Most of the time when they make the cut in that oyster's mouth, if you will, it begins to produce the nacre right away, even without an irritant. And so suddenly pearls are created like in a farm, an oyster farm. And so cultured pearls are still very expensive, but not as expensive as a real pearl. So if you get a necklace of, say, 30 real pearls, I'm telling you, that's a lot of money. And all of that started with one little grain of sand. Well, that's how these pearls are made. When you go to a jewelry store, you see them. Of course, you go to something like Walmart, those are not real pearls. And there's a way you can tell by, if you rub a real pearl on your teeth, it will be incredibly, incredibly smooth. But a plastic or created pearl, you rub it on your teeth and you'll feel some type of rough on it. And that's how they know that the pearl is not real. So now, men, you just watch your wives when they go home tonight. They're all going to be in their room going, "Doggone you!" You told me these were real. So maybe I should have told all that. I don't know. If there's a problem at the house, call Shelton. Okay? He'll take care of it for you. But here in the Word of God, Jesus is using a pearl as a reference. Now, understand this. The pearl of great price. This is not just a pearl. This is the pearl of great price. And some want you to believe that the pearl of great price is your salvation. Because you think of how it is created and how the Bible talks about how that the man who went and sold all and bought it. Well, if you think about salvation, we all know that Jesus Christ came and paid everything to buy our salvation, didn't he? To pay for our salvation. But in the context of the Scripture, Jesus is referring not to our salvation because that's already been done. What he's referring to here, the pearl of great price, is the New Testament church. And I didn't say the local church. I said the New Testament church. I mean us. All of us that are saved. I'm talking about saved people all over the world. Wherever they are. If they're part of the bride of Christ, if they're saved by the grace of God, then they are part of this pearl of great price. Because remember that Jesus Christ died surely for our sins to save us personally, but he also saved us to put us into the church, the family of God that started at Calvary. And so notice the Bible said that the kingdom of heaven. Remember we talked about that, didn't we? You remember the kingdom of heaven is talking about heaven itself, where the kingdom of God speaks about the millennial kingdom that's coming after the rapture of the church. And so here we find God, Jesus referring to that pearl of great price that is going to live and abide in heaven with God. Guess where we're going when the rapture takes place? We're not going downtown. We're not going to New York City. We're going to heaven. And so because of that, Jesus is referring, he's making a prophetic message here concerning the New Testament church, of which the local church becomes a part of it. I like to look at the local church as a Baroque pearl. It's one that is cultured. Culture pearl, I mean. It's one that is created from, you heard Brother Robert talking this morning about the churches that branched off of the church that they started. When we support missionaries, you may not have known this, But our goal, when I talk to a missionary about supporting them, the one thing that we require as a church to support or even consider supporting a missionary is that they are willing to plant churches wherever they are. Not just to go there and win souls. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's a great task and certainly necessary. But God does not save people just to get saved. He saves them to put them somewhere. He saved you for such a time as this. Right now, you are where you should be in the house of God as a Christian who is part of the pearl of great price. Now, the church can be a different shape. It can be a different size. It can be a different color. I mean, there's all kinds of differences in churches that are real New Testament churches now. And so we would call those Baroque pearls. You know, the Baptists aren't the only one going to heaven. Now, I'll tell you that some of the newfangled Protestant denominations, I'm telling you, most of them are not going to heaven. Now, they wouldn't like to hear me say that, but if they don't preach the gospel according to the Word of God, the death, the burial, and the resurrection only, then I don't care how long they've been in existence. They're preaching a gospel that will not get them to heaven. And Paul said, let them be accursed. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making that. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. And so we are part of Anchor Baptist Church is a cultured pearl. Now, guess what? A cultured pearl, though, is formed the same way as a real pearl. Got to get irritated. Amen. I'd say we've had a few grains of sand around here since we've been going. I feel, listen, as a church, we've had our tongue cut a time or two. Amen. Now, but you know what? I told some of this the other day, and I think I might have mentioned this to Judy, I'm not sure. But I'm thankful for everyone that's ever come through this place. Good, bad, or indifferent. Because God used all of them to create the character of the church right now today. I'm telling you, God has blessed us with some really good Spirit-filled services lately. I'm telling you, I've enjoyed it. I'm telling you, I told you a couple weeks ago, Brother Tim was that close to shouting. I'm telling you, he'll be shouting here for long. He's taking pH or something. I think he's drinking pool chemicals or something. I'm not sure. But I asked him, how are you feeling? He said, man, I feel the best I've felt in months. And I asked him, he's taking some pH, said the pH balance. Anyway, he can tell you all that stuff. But the point is, he said, you know, I feel really good. I thought, good Lord. Heal up his legs so when he finally decides to shout, he can kick that leg up. Now, what we might have to do is put a little irritant under there to get him a little antsy, you know. No, we're not going to do that. But I'm telling you, God knows when to insert the irritant. Come on now. God knows when to cut the tongue. Oh, what great a matter a little fire kindling. That's what James said. That's right. And so God knows how to do that. But here we find this pearl of great price. I want to just talk about that for a few minutes tonight. And as Brother Robert said, then we'll go to the house. But I'll try not to keep you too long. All right? The buyer in this story is Jesus Christ. He's the one who bought the pearl of great price. How did he do it? By dying on the cross for our sins. The pearl, as I mentioned, is the New Testament church, the body of Christ. By the way, Old Testament believers do not belong to this crowd. Now, an Old Testament saint like Moses, you think about Moses and Abraham, these great Christians who are so far head and shoulders and waist and knees above us, and yet they believed in the coming of Christ. They put their faith in a coming Savior. They are considered Old Testament saints. They are not. Now, don't misunderstand. They're going to be in the same heaven we're in. They're going to have a mansion just like we. They're going to have all the same sort of benefits, except the fact that they do not belong to the New Testament church. They put their faith in the coming of the Lord. We put our faith in the fact that He's already been here. And so because of that, we are considered the New Testament church. Every Christian, born again Christian is part of the universal church, the New Testament church, the body of Christ. You know, in the Catholic Church, the word Catholic itself simply means universal. That's what it means. Now, they consider themselves to be the only church, the universal church. So you can't go to heaven if you're not a Catholic. I got news for you, honey. I'm not a Catholic. I've never been a Catholic, and I never will be a Catholic. And I'm telling you, I'm going to heaven when I die, because the Lord Jesus Christ promised me I could go to heaven if I trust Him as Savior. And let me tell you something else, and we're not on live stream, so, but anyway, you can tell anybody you want to tell this. That's why we want to try to win Catholics to Christ, because they need to be saved. Isn't that right, Miss Ramona? Boy, I remember we went to her house, and boy, she said, you know, she said some of the things I've heard down at your church, said are things I've never heard growing up in the Catholic Church. You mean I can get saved and go to heaven, and I don't put my trust in anybody but Jesus? And that right there in her living room, Judy and I said, yeah, that's right. Just pray and ask God to forgive you and get saved. Boy, she started to pray, and she said, oh, Lord, I've been misled all these years, but I want to get saved. I want to get born again. And, buddy, she got up off her couch saved, and she's been a faithful Christian ever since. She is part of the universal church without having to pray a rosary or put her confidence in a pope. Oh, and by the way, just so I can help you tonight, she's a born-again Christian. She doesn't have to put her confidence in her pastor to go to heaven. She doesn't have to put her confidence in her Sunday school teacher or anybody else here. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. So the pearl is the New Testament church. So it's pretty obvious then what the great price was. Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary. Now, in the Word of God, as you read through it, you'll find that many times God, in inspiring the Bible to the writer, would use material things or even animals or living things to teach a lesson. For example, he uses the ant. Consider the ant, thou sluggard. The Bible said, man, he's always working. And you know what they're always working to do? To be prepared when they can't. The bee, who pollinates, who helps to cross-pollinate and carry the nature that God, not Mother Nature, the nature that God created, all over to keep this thing green and alive and beautiful. How about the eagle? We know about the eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How about the lion? Oh, now listen. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But there's another lion. He's called the devil. And the Bible said, be careful for that one. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. How about when Peter denied the Lord? What was it that got his attention? It was a rooster. That's right, a male chicken. Hey, when God made his promise to Noah after the flood, what'd he do? He put a rainbow out there, didn't he? Yeah. You know what the rainbow is in the Word of God? A real rainbow is a complete circle, and the Bible describes it as the crown of Jehovah. Do you realize when you see a rainbow, listen, scientifically, humanly, it's the way the light refracts off the atmosphere, depending on how much moisture's in the air. But you know what it really is? It is the crown of God. Do you realize when you see a rainbow, you are seeing a part of God's crown? How about that? I'm telling you. Hey, what about Balaam's donkey? Yeah. Amen. Old Balaam, that rascal preacher, that hireling. Boy, he was on his way to go against the will of God. And boy, that donkey, he's riding that donkey on Brother Robert was talking about that Volkswagen on them curbs. Boy, that donkey's like that Volkswagen. He's on that curb. He mashed Balaam's leg up against the side of that mountain. And he screamed and got up and kicked that donkey. And that donkey said, what'd I do to you? And then the donkey preached to him. Amen. So see, I don't feel so bad. You can call me all kinds of names you want to, but this donkey's going to preach to you tonight. Because there's been a lot of times when something happened, I'd say, what I do to you? So I know about Balaam's donkey. And then what about Jonah's big fish? Right, Brother Steve? Yeah, he wasn't a big fish. He's a whale. That's what the Bible said. Got swallowed by a whale. And that was a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord as Jonah was in the belly of that whale 3 days and three nights. And so, here's a picture of a pearl. It's an inanimate object. It comes from a living organism, but the pearl itself is not living. It's not breathing. It doesn't have any function. It is simply the result of that oyster being irritated. You know, wouldn't it be good here at Anchor Baptist Church, when we get irritated about something, instead of getting mad and blowing up, we just made something pretty? I'm preaching myself now. Let me give you this real quickly. All right, number one. Notice the pearl is a product of suffering. Now, they say, in studying about an oyster, they say that even though it is a, you know, we would consider it inanimate, but it's not. It's a living organism that has nerves that feel pain. And that oyster, when that little, I mean, if a little grain of sand can so stir up that oyster to make a pearl, then imagine what we must feel like sometimes when the irritants of life come our way. The church was created by irritants. Think about it now. Why did we form Anchor Baptist Church? Because we got irritated a few years ago. And we had a choice. We could either quit and go home, or we could find us a shell and start creating a pearl. Thank God, I'm glad to report we're in the shell. We're not the pearl yet, but we're getting there. You know how I know? Because every time we come to church, if you're not where you need to be with God, you're irritating Him. And He's going to put something on you to smooth you out. One of these days when we stand before, you know what the Bible said? That Christ is preparing us so that He could present us. He wants to present us a perfect church. Man, listen, a perfect pearl. Round, perfectly round, very rare, and very expensive. By the way, did you know that you can cut a diamond and make it worth more? If you chip a pearl, it's worthless. There's not one thing you can do to rescue a pearl if you take any part of the edge off of a pearl. It is no longer, it's worthless. You can throw it away. You're not going to get anything. Hey, listen, God wants us to be a perfect people. Not sinlessly perfect, but mature, grown up. Acting right, like we've got a purpose in mind. We have to be careful that we're not the cause of chipping the pearl. Amen? I don't want to stand before God and God have to judge me because of my attitude and how that I started to destroy the pearl. I don't want to be that. Do you? Not only is the pearl a product of suffering, but the pearl is formed from something worthless. Now, you know what? I know they've tried to change the song umpteen times, but you know what the song says? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Everybody in this building is worthless. But thank God I was a nobody headed nowhere. But now I'm a somebody headed somewhere. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleansed me from my sin and took a nothing and made something out of it. I stand before you a child of the King, not because I deserve it, but because I've been adopted into the family. And I've been an irritant to God all my Christian life. And instead of throwing me away, thank God, He just smooths off the edges. The pearl is a composite. It's not just, it's a composite. It has in its center the offending material. On the outside, it has the oyster saliva, the nacre. And part of the makeup of that nacre is calcium. It's like you have bones. That's what gives the hardness to that pearl. You know, if that pearl is right, you can bounce it on the floor and not harm it. Now, if you took a hammer to it or really tried to injure it, you could, and it would be worthless. But, you know, if you're wearing a string of real pearls and the string breaks and the pearls are on the floor, don't worry. They have to be fall a lot harder than that to make that. You know what? Sometimes as a church, as a New Testament church, sometimes the string gets broken and some of the pearls fall on the floor. And our problem is when that happens, we want to kick them under the sofa and not pay them no more mind. But I'm glad God didn't throw us away. Amen. Old Jeremiah talked about the potter's wheel and how he would take that broken potsherd. Man, listen, I mean, we try to make that pot, it'd be a mess, and we just break it and throw it in the pile. God didn't come along with a shovel and shovel us into hell like he could have. He picked out those pieces of broken clay. He said, I believe I can do something with these. He said, I think I can start a church on 418 North Brickyard with this little pile of broken potsherds. But I'm telling you, when we first started, we were broken. I was broken. I mean, I'm telling you, I was spiritually and emotionally broken. And God said, don't you quit. I'm going to do something with you all if you'll hang in there. And we organized Anchor Baptist Church, and I'm telling you, we're far from where we ought to be, but thank God we're not where we were. But not only that, the pearl grows gradually. It doesn't just go boom, and there it takes years for that pearl to be formed. I mean, you can have a smaller pearl, and it'll be worth less. You can have a bigger one, but you have to wait a long time. But usually the normal size of a pearl becomes the most expensive because it combined both time and effort. If we really want Anchor Baptist Church to be a pearl or part of the pearl of great price, then we're going to have to be patient and let God smooth us out. Amen? I'm just trying to help you here tonight. I'm almost done. Hey, not only does the pearl grow gradually, but the pearl is a hidden work. That oyster don't lay there wide open with pearl there. Oh, he closes up shop. And it takes work to open an oyster shell. I've watched people do it. They take that crowbar, whatever that thing is they use, and boy, they make pop that thing out. And you know what? I've seen them do it many times. They'll look at the first. They don't look to eat it. They look to see if there's anything in there. So, you know what? You don't do that with clams because you don't find pearls in clams. You don't find that in a catfish. Now, Peter found some money in the fish's mouth, but that was a one-time deal. But, buddy, when folks buy oysters, I've seen them. I've gone to these. I'd eat with folks, and they'll get them oysters. And we went to a restaurant where they had a big hole in the table. And so they just eat stuff, throw stuff down the hole. Stank. Lord God, that was a mess. Stinky place. And I watch this man, and boy, he like them oysters. And boy, I watch, he'd grab that thing, and boy, he'd wrestle with that thing and pop it open. And the first thing he'd do, he'd pop it open. And then nothing. Then he'd say, cake day in the morning. And then slide that bottom piece of that shell in that hole. Cake day in the morning. I said, brother, you've got to be kidding me. I'm telling you. I'm sure Judy thinks the same way. I'm glad she don't eat that mess because there did not be no sugar getting passed around after that. I promise you that right now. I wouldn't want to have to follow that little thing. Well, we're chasing rabbits now, aren't we? Let me get back on the ground here. The pearl is a hidden work. You see, the local, remember I told you that this is the New Testament church. The pearl of great price is not the local church because then a local church could claim that title for themselves. But see, here's the thing. A pearl is a hidden work. The local New Testament church, Anchor Baptist Church, should be visible. It ought to be out there. That's why we hand out tracts. So we're not going to. Listen, we don't just meet on Sunday and everybody come in and lock the doors. And if anybody wants to get in, they have to give us a password or buy a key. Obviously, look around. They're not trying to get in here by the hundreds. So we got to be a visible work. So obviously then, the local church is not the pearl of great price, but those that make up the local church. Because listen, we're visible with the gospel message, but how many times has God had to deal with us personally and privately in our own lives? God does His best work when nobody else knows it. Just like that oyster can be at the bottom of the ocean and nobody even know it's down there. And it's not bothering anybody. It's not trying to be a menace. It's not swimming around trying to eat the fish. He's just sitting there. And something gets in there that bothers him. And he don't get mad and cuss and fuss like church members do sometimes. Say amen right there. No, he just sits there and says, well, I got a little problem. I'm not going to bother nobody else with it. I'll take care of it myself. I'm telling you, folks, God does not need our help to take care of His situations. He does a good job all by Himself. But we need to be visible. Where the church of God that really happens in our heart and in our soul is invisible. One more thing and I'm done. Of course, the pearl is a product of suffering. The pearl is formed from something that's worthless. The pearl is a composite made up of several things. Just like the church is made up of several different types of folk. The pearl grows gradually. In fact, I didn't mention this a moment ago, but they say to get a the right size pearl that can be worth something, it takes up to 3 years to form. Now, we've been here 6. But we've only been here, it'll be our 3rd year next year. So maybe God's about ready to crack open the shell. The pearl is a hidden work. But lastly, the pearl is a valuable, or I put in parentheses, invaluable object. The pearl of great price is valuable to God, but it's invaluable to the work. What I mean, and the both words mean basically the same thing. It cost everything to create it, and when it's done, it'll be priceless. Priceless. Can you possibly tell me anything or any group of things in your life, in your sphere of knowledge, that you could possibly throw together and put together in one big lump and then hold it up to your salvation and it be worth more? Is there anything? This whole world isn't worth my salvation. And it cost God everything. But it started when the irritant of sin fell into the life of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. You notice up till then, He didn't sweat as though it were great drops of blood. Up till then, He did not pray for God, for His will and not God's will. Up till that point, He didn't say, I'm not going to do it. But the moment the sins of the world, and that's us, began to fall upon Him in that garden, suddenly things began to change. But God knew all along that that's how the pearl of great price was going to be formed. And it started with the death of our Lord. It started in the Garden of Gethsemane when He began to cry out, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. What was happening? God is now pouring the sins of the world on Him. And He carried them all the way to Calvary. Scientists say that one pearl is found in every 10,000 oysters. That's a lot of oysters, ain't it? Like I said, pearl necklaces that are real with 30 pearls of good quality could cost millions of dollars. In history, Cleopatra, she actually bet Mark Antony. They were real folks, by the way. That's not a made-up story. She could give the most expensive dinner in history. And so he bet her And so the dinner, she planned the dinner. It was a normal, of course, a big lavish affair in Egypt. And so the dinner went along. Everything went along. Dinner was over. Everybody went home. He said, well, this didn't seem to be any more expensive than any other dinner we've ever had. And she said, well, just a minute. She called in the chef out of the kitchen, the cook, and said, tell him. I mean, this is a true story now. Tell him why this is the most expensive dinner ever. There were 1,000 guests at the dinner. She took 1,000 real pearls, crushed them, and put them in their drink. Now, we know that a pearl that's injured or crushed is really of no value, but they started out that way. Can you imagine 1,000 pearls? A pearl necklace can have 30. So that's one necklace times to go to 1,000. Can you imagine how many in today's money, millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars that would have cost? Would you, if you had a real string of pearls, would you on Easter Sunday morning or Easter time, would you buy those little plastic eggs and put a real pearl and a bunch of eggs and hide them in your yard and say, go find them? If you decide to do that, send me an invitation. The point is that we are the pearl of great price. Amen? This is a cultured pearl. This is created from the idea of the original. The New Testament, the local church, is a cultured pearl. And every time a local New Testament church is started that preaches the gospel and believes the right way, it becomes a valuable asset to the ministry of God. And yet, we hear that upwards of 10 to 12 churches every day are closing in this country. Not a week or a month. I'm talking about every day. That's what they say. Now, I don't know how true that is. I really hadn't done too much study into that. But I'm telling you, every time Satan can close down a good fundamental church and cause it to go off the rails and go with a different Bible or go with a different ministry or go with a different gospel, then all of a sudden that cultured pearl is no longer of any value. But the pearl of great price will always be valuable to God. And that's why He loves us. And that's why He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what I want us to be here at Anchor? A string of pearls. Let's be a string of cultured pearls. And let's add to the string as much and as often as we can, so that we can be presented, so one day God, Jesus can present us to God a perfect work. What a blessing that'll be. Then we'll sing, what a day that will be. Because we'll recognize that, and by the way, we'll always remember it was God who made us and not we ourselves. That oyster cannot make a pearl unless something is introduced to it that irritates it. Well, if you never come to the realization you're lost, you're never going to get saved. If you never become an irritant to the gospel, then God can never make you a pearl. But when you realize that you are a sinner, that's when God applies mercy and grace and forgiveness. And then He begins to create in you that perfect work. And then He puts us all in here together and we become a beautiful string of pearls for the outside world to say, there's something different about that place. There's something different about the way they do things. That's what I want to hear from this world and give God the glory. Amen? Amen. Father, we love You tonight and thank You so much for this wonderful picture that You put in the Word of God of the pearl of great price. Another place You talk about casting pearls before swine. Lord, it's sad that
that churches have allowed themselves in the work of Satan to destroy them, to be cast before the swine, to be devoured and destroyed and trampled and buried, and lose whatever testimony they may have had. I was talking today with Brother Rob about some churches and men that we've known over the years who at one time were good, solid men, but my, how they let things destroy their pearls. And some of them now not even in the ministry anymore, because they've been so disillusioned when their pearls are cast before the swine. Oh, dear God, I don't know how long it'll be before you come back. I think it'll be soon, but I don't know when you're coming. And I don't know how long Anchor Baptist Church, I hope until Jesus comes. That's my prayer. That'll always be a string of pearls in God's jewelry box. And that we won't cast to the swine the pearl of the Bible, the pearl of prayer, the pearl of good, solid music, the pearl of preaching and teaching, the pearl of soul winning, the pearl of loving. Oh God, help us to love, but to be honest in our love, and to give the gospel every chance we get. Please, God, make me one of the pearls on the string. I love you and I thank you for this time together. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name.